Jeremiah, the standard has never changed. Still holy. God hasn't got a new standard for you. God hasn't got a new standard for Judah because the way things are turning, no, God's standard is still the same. Jeremiah, God's word hasn't changed. What I told you back in chapter 1, what I told you in chapter 2, what I told you in chapter 3 is exactly right. He said, I'll tell you the problem, Jeremiah, they've forsaken the Holy One. That's the problem. They're trusting in the temple. They said, the temple, we have the temple. And guess what? They did have the temple. We have the scroll. They did have the scroll. We have the scrolls. They did have the scrolls. We've got the book. They did have the book. But I tell you what they didn't have. They didn't have holiness. They'd had no holiness. They'd thrown out holiness. They rejected holiness, amen. And I tell you what's happened in our movement today. We're fast throwing holiness out the window. Amen. And we're crying, oh, let Josiah stay on the throne. Well, what have we done while he was there? He said, while Josiah was there, it worried you, Jeremiah. You've been wearied with the good days. You've not done your best under the best situation. What are you going to do now when the horses come in? Hey, the real test is going to be what we're going to do if we don't have 4 more years of a better leader. That's going to test us. Hey, the COVID test is pretty good. We've about thrown the church over the hill for the COVID mess. Amen. Hey, we used to preach from this Bible and said all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are the called according to His purpose. Until COVID come, that's no longer true anymore. Isn't that amazing? That verse we've quoted all of my life and I've preached it hundreds and hundreds of times, it's no longer valid now. COVID's come. Forsake not the assembling yourself together that he read as the manner of some is. And even the more, we've preached that all these years until COVID come. Well, now that's not the truth anymore. COVID means more than that. Are you listening to me? What are you going to do, Jeremiah? What are you really going to do now? We're going to really find out what you're going to do. Hey, we're going to find out, Jeremiah, because now the land of peace in which thou hast trusted, it ain't going to last. What are you going to do in the swelling of Jordan? What are you going to do when there is no peace? There are several explanations when the Jordan swelled and talking about the river flooding like it did every year. But I tell you what it swelled with. It swelled with the enemy's horses. Thousands and thousands and thousands of them. Are we listening? Holiness is God's only standard. What am I going to do for recreation? Anything that's holy. How are we going to entertain ourselves? Just anything that's holy. You see, what we have done, we've dissected the Word of God, dissected the standards of the Bible, dissected the preaching of the Word of God, and made a way for us to get away with whatever we want to do in this life. It's not the will of God. Amen. Amen. It says, if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they weary thee. You know what God's people have always done when it was peaceful? They've dropped their standards. Every time. Every time. They went into bondage. God sent them a judge. The judge come in. I mean, maybe it was a judge that wasn't much of moral himself, but he might have been like Samson. He just whooped the devil out of every one of them. Amen. But as soon as they had liberty and they was free, they went right back to the way they were. What have we done? What have we done with 4 years of somebody in Washington standing up for us? Even during this COVID thing, he said, You're wrong in trying to shut the churches down. You governors are wrong in trying to stop the churches. You governors are not doing right by passing this Mickey Mouse law business for yourself and shutting down the work of God. It is not right. And the president said, we need the church and the people of God need to be there. What have we done with that? I'm telling you, God might be more upset today than we think he is. He said, Jeremiah, it's going to get bad. And it did get bad. Number one, God has not deceived us. Don't blame God. He hadn't deceived us. He told us what was going to happen. He told us it would be that fallen away. He told us about the apostasy of his people. He told us. He told us that holiness was the only standard. He told us. He made it clear over and over and over. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. God wants me to be changed in the direction of holiness. He does not want me drugged by the world in the direction of its wickedness. Amen. Look in Romans chapter 6. God's word is perfect. I mentioned this verse the other day. Here's another reckoning in verse number 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I think we'll go down and watch that movie. Well, I can't. I'm dead. You ever seen a dead person drive in and walk in and watch a movie? They can't do it. You ever seen a dead person come down there and he says, hey, bud, could you give me a beer? You'd say, he ain't dead. Or maybe he reaches up and says, have you got a cigarette? No, a dead person doesn't do anything. He said, you reckon yourself dead indeed. You reckon yourself dead. What are we dead to, preacher? We're dead to sin. Good. It's like those three ladies that got saved in the old tent meetings and the sawdust on the floor, and they worked in a saloon, and they all got saved, and they quit their job immediately. And the Christmas party come up a few months, and they got an invitation because everybody worked there throughout the year got invited to the Christmas party. And one of them said to the other, "Say, what are we going to do? All of our friends are there. All those work people that we used to work with, they're all there." The one said, I know what we're going to do, and wrote a letter back and said, we are sorry, we cannot come, but we are all dead. You see, the problem is we don't want to reckon the old man dead. We want to let the old man have a lot of leeway in our lives. And here's Paul writing to the church, and he's writing to the saints of God, and he's telling them about all these things and expressing these things and reckoning these things in their heart, amen. In verse 19, he says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Here's why you've got to keep telling you this, because you've got that flesh. For as you have yielded your members servant to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Verse 22. But now being made free from sin, you become the servants to God. You have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Jeremiah, the standard has never changed. Still holy. God hasn't got a new standard for you. God hasn't got a new standard for Judah because the way things are turning. No, God's standard is still the same. Are you listening? I'm going to try to hurry because I don't even know what time it is. Man, it's 7:45 in Mississippi already. Number three, Jeremiah, God's word hasn't changed. What I told you back in chapter 1, what I told you in chapter 2, what I told you in chapter 3, is exactly right. Do we still believe Romans 8:28? Hey, listen to this. Here's what we've preached for years. It's appointed of the man. We have preached God has an appointment. I've got an appointment. I'm going to meet God. Now, God could, as I said earlier, he can change the appointment. He can make it early or he can make it late, but nobody else can change it. Amen. We believe our breath is in his hand. And we don't believe we could die. It don't matter what you do to me. We don't believe we can die until God says die. I know the man put a 12-gauge shotgun right there and blowed one whole side of his head off, and he lived. Unless God lets you die, you can't die. My grandpa, my grandma, your grandpa, anybody's grandma, my dad, your dad, our moms, nobody's going to die. My wife, my children, they're not going to die until God says die. But death is a part of God's judgment on mankind. It's appointed a man that wants to die. Why is man going to die? Man sinned, and because of sin, death has come, and all men have sinned, and so death is already pronounced upon all of us. Amen. We've preached for years and years and years. God's in control. God will keep you alive until he's ready for you. You're going to meet God on that appointed day. God's chose to take this child. God has chose to take this woman. God has chose to take this man. But now we believe COVID's doing it. I tell you, some people are watching too much TV. They're listening to too much news, Fox included, amen. God's word hasn't changed. God has not deceived us. God's not changed the standard of holiness. God's word has not changed, and his promises are still valid today. What he's promised, he will do. He has not changed. Look in 2 Peter chapter number 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm not going to get done tonight, so I'll be like the man. He said, my message is like a roll of bologna. I can cut it thick, thin, any way you want it. Amen. Amen. I'm just telling you, if we're not careful, this political mess, this government mess, this world mess, this flesh mess, this news mess is going to cripple the church and take the steam out of our hearts and cripple us, and we won't be worth a 5 cents for God when it's over with. And the devil knows that. And he's using it. Verse number 4 of chapter 1 of 2 Peter. Let's read also verse 3. Boy, I had time to read the whole chapter, but I ain't got time to preach the whole chapter. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life. You think he's given us everything that pertains to life? Is he in control or not? Is he Lord or not? Is he king or not? Amen, amen, amen. Let's believe it. Let's preach it. Let's tell it. And let's don't let a bunch of nonsense change what we're believing. He says that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It can get worse. Well, preacher, what if Biden gets elected? What if Biden gets elected and 2 weeks after he gets elected he dies or has a stroke or they kill him, amen, and Nancy Pelosi's the vice president? And what if Miss Harris gets killed in a car wreck and Nancy Pelosi is the president? Hey, we're looking in the wrong place for hope. We're looking in the wrong place for peace. We're looking in the wrong place for comfort. Jesus said, I'll send you another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And he told that to people that were dying for the faith, were going to have their heads cut off, fed to the lions, and everything else. And God gave them the Holy Ghost, and we still have the Holy Ghost, and he will take care of us no matter what happens. God help us to go back to our old roots and stay where we always have been and quit letting this world rob us of our faith. Amen. Whereby are given us great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Hey, he hasn't deceived us. Money's still the root of all evil, the love of it. You took money out of Washington? Hey, Why would you spend $100 million to get a $125,000 a year job? That's my question. I mean, hey, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure that out. That's my question. Yeah, that's exactly right. And for all of my lifetime, I'm not the oldest person in here, but I'm not the youngest. I'm a little older than you, amen. They said, we're going to have political finance reform. We're going to have campaign finance reform. What that meant was they're going to set a limit on how much can be spent on a campaign. Because we don't want the billionaires controlling our government, but that's what they're doing. You know why they don't do it? Because they get their hands in the pot. Every stinking nasty one of them get their hands in the pot and they live high on the hog and they pay staff members that campaign with them large, immense salaries and they rake in the dough. They're a wicked bunch of devils and we think they're going to deliver us. There's been numerous of times both sides have had the Congress and have had the Senate. Why didn't they pass campaign? Why did it pass finance reform for? Why didn't they? I tell you why they don't. Because they got their arms in it that deep, amen, all the way up to both shoulders. They're raking it out and putting it in every pocket they got. Amen. There ain't no use in playing games. We're being duped by a bunch of wickedness, and they're not our peace. They're not our hope, and they cannot help us. Amen. I remember when Reagan ran. Oh, he's going to save us. He didn't. Bush is going to save us. He didn't save us. Trump, he's going to save us. He didn't save us. I tell you, the problem is the church has got one eye on the world and the other eye on Jesus, and it won't work that way. Amen. I'm just going to give you some points. I ain't got time to preach them all. God hasn't deceived us. His standard has not changed. It's still holiness. His word, he will not let one jot or tittle be taken out of. God's promises are still valid. His people are still precious. He says, precious is the eye of the Lord, the death of his saints. Oh, God's up there saying, oh, Lord, have mercy. Some of my people are going to die of COVID this year. It's just got me torn all to pieces. That ain't bothering God. To be absent in the body, to be present with the Lord, that's all we've preached. Amen. Hey, if we step out, we're going to be with God. Why don't we keep preaching that? We're letting a bunch of propaganda destroy us. Oh, preacher, people really do die from COVID. Yeah, I know they die from COVID, but they die from car wrecks too. They die from cancer. They die from heart attack. They die from a lot of stuff, amen. But we have not let all of that cripple the church, and we've not let all of that shut down the work of God. But we're letting a bunch of junk that the devil sowed in now. Let me say this. I told this the other day somewhere I was preaching. And I said, I can tell you right off the bat how I know that this mess is of the devil, it's not of God. They said, how do you know? I said, God's not the author of confusion. I said, the doctors are confused. I mean, top doctors are confused. And they don't agree. Nations are confused. Politicians are confused. The mayors are confused. And now, for God's sake, the churches are confused. I said, God's never been the author of confusion. Amen. I want us to leave this meeting with at least a whole lot more energy to say, I'm going to serve God no matter who's in office, no matter what's going on, no matter how much burns in Colorado, and no matter how much washes out in the Pacific Ocean, amen, or the Mediterranean Sea, or over in the Atlantic, or down in the Gulf, or what happens when the whole Europe falls under earthquake. It don't matter. God done told me it's going to be perilous times. Let me give you this last point. I ain't going to have time to preach on these points. God's plan will always be completed. Yeah, you're right. Jeremiah, who did I tell you is going to come and take his place? What about Jonah? Well, God said because of all those thousands and thousands and thousands of people that repented, he spared them. What was it, 100 years until the final destruction of Nineveh come? Yeah. I believe if America got right with God and the churches got right with God, it ain't telling what might happen. But God will still do what he said. God's going to do exactly what he said. Nebuchadnezzar, he's going to send Nebuchadnezzar down and his army. They're coming. Oh, you're crazy, Jeremiah. No, that's what God said. That's what God said. See, we've been preaching the word of God for years and years and years. And all of a sudden, we're acting like, well, if we can't get the right one in office, we ain't going to be able to make it. And if we can't kill this COVID, church is done. It's over with. We can't serve God. COVID, you can't serve God with COVID. What are we going to do? I tell you what we better do. We better go back to believing the Bible. Amen. Amen. The church has functioned down through the ages and kept right on going in the worst conditions. And if we're not careful, we're going to let things in these last days jerk all the faith out. Do we have any faith? Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Preacher, what you think going to happen? It's going to get worse. What do you think? What do you think is going to happen to us? We're going to get persecuted. He that lives godly in Christ Jesus, he's going to be persecuted. The Bible done told us that. Why are we amazed when the fiery trial that comes upon us is to try us? He said, don't be amazed. It's going to try everybody. Some are going to fail. Amen. I know I've got to close. Jeremiah, what's your problem? Well, I don't understand why you don't kill all them people. I know you're righteous. I know you're righteous. And I know you see me. And I know you see them. Now, why don't you just slaughter all them? You know, he had a different attitude than Moses had. God said, I'm going to kill them all and spare you, Moses, and start another nation out of you. Moses said, nah, I don't want to just kill me with them. Oh, he said, well, Moses, since you feel that way, I'll just spare them all. Amen. Isn't that amazing? If we're not careful, I believe we've had a touch of revival this week. I said a touch of revival. I'm going to tell you something. If we'll let it go on, ain't no telling what God might do right here. But if we let the world continue to sap all the energy out of us, if we let it change our God in our minds, if we let it change God's standard in this book, if we let it change God's prophecy, if we let it take away from us what we've believed and preached all of our lives, there ain't no telling what we might experience that we don't expect to experience. Amen. I hope you got some help. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for speaking to my heart today about these verses. Lord, it's a lot easier to preach than it is to live. And I want you to place in my heart the same things that I've preached to the people of God tonight. Lord, help us to realize you said I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. You've not changed that verse. Lord, you said I'm with you always. You said I can boldly say the Lord is my helper. I should not fear what man will do to me. You've told us all those things. And now we're acting like we don't remember any of it. Help us, I pray. We need revival. And we need the stirring of God in our souls. We need to be like Peter, our pure minds be stirred up by way of remembrance. There might be someone here today lost. They don't even know you as their Savior. I pray they'd come to Jesus. Yes. Lord, you're the only hope for them. If they'll come to you repenting and trusting you as their Savior, you've promised to save them, forgive them. There might be Christians here today that's just straddling the fence, just lingering not committed, not consecrated. Lord, we're in the last end of this race. Help us, Lord, as we finish the race, to finish it right. And we'll thank you for it. Lord, my mind goes to Brother Henderson. I'm asking you to touch him and help him. And Lord, I thank you that you'll make no mistakes. We'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So, pianist will play for us just for a second. Let's stand all over the building, and you might need to come before we even start to sing. I don't want to be mean and rough, and that's not my goal in life at all. I don't even have a desire to be that way. And I hope you didn't take it that way. But I'm telling you, we got to go back to believing the book. We've got to stand on this Bible and quit letting everything that comes, every wind of doctrine, every problem, should it knock us out from under, our feet out from under us. Amen. How many can say amen to that?